Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering
the United States. Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is Tuesday evening. It is 8 o'clock-ish. And it is on the East Coast, which is important in that equation, because if it was 8 o'clock on the West Coast, it would be really late. And it is 8 o'clock on a Tuesday on the East Coast, and you know what that means. It is time for another Raw Islam Live, the only podcast guaranteed not to increase global warming, to increase the heat around the world, because we're already suffering enough. And I said it. Global warming is real. We need to cut down on our carbon emissions. So there it is. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hardest working imam that I know. And that's not just a euphemism this week, because he was just telling me, we know he's getting ready for the move. And as you look this week, you'll see there's nothing. It's just him and a wall. Mashallah, he got the whole house packed. So the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our listeners from across the world on Facebook Live and other streaming outlets. We welcome you to another mind-riveting episode of Raw Islam, where we try to pick up on the core elements behind the stories that we hear throughout the news in the course of a week and try to dissect that and understand it under the sphere of Islam. Keep in mind, these are not just our thoughts or opinions. We try to formulate views based on the teachings of Islam, even though some people may not find it to be appealing or conducive to how they think. But at the end of the day, this is not about imposing our ways or our beliefs or our thoughts. Rather, it's about sharing our thoughts and ideas, because we feel this can be integral in bringing forth solutions in a world that is plagued by problems. Carl was just alluding to global warming. And where Carl is right now in Virginia, it is hotter than it is right now currently in Tampa, Florida. We've been suffering with continuous rain, minus today and yesterday, whereas people up in the northeast, like in Quebec and other places, have been suffering with extreme heat. People in Japan have been suffering with torrential rains and flood that has killed close to 200 people. So we have problems, and there's one thing to acknowledge a problem. There's a second thing to discuss the problem. And the third and the most important is devising a solution for the problem, so that number four, the problem doesn't occur again. So we have many problems in our world today. And today we want to talk about entitlement. Are we entitled to our views and opinion? It's a very generic question, not to say white people or brown people, Muslims or Christians, Americans or Asians. We're talking very generically. As a human being, am I entitled to have an opinion? And if I have an opinion, how good is my opinion? And number three is, if my opinion is regarded good and stable or not, how much of that, from my opinion, can I impose on other people? Because in this last few days, we've just heard President Trump say two things that my conversation today will revolve around. Number one was the recommendation for the Supreme Court judge, who is ultra-conservative and has views that people know through his history, do not coincide with the way America is functioning right now. And then we had President Trump's statement earlier today, where he said that if you want to stop this, the separation of parents and the children, tell them to stop coming here. So there's a lot to talk about. But Carl, let's not look at him as the president. Let's not look at him as Trump. Let's talk about just general. Everyone out there is spitting their views. Are they entitled to have a view? This is my first of four questions. Are we entitled to have views?
Well, as a white male, I think it's important that I share my views with everybody and everybody understand that my views are right and the best. No. That was a joke for those of you that are tuning in for the first time and don't know my sense of humor. I honestly feel that it's human nature to have an opinion. I mean, I really honestly think it's impossible to go through life and see something or interact with someone or interact with something and not have some kind of opinion about what just happened or what you just saw, or because it's feelings and we all have feelings about everything. It's just human nature. So we all have opinions. Now, how we share those opinions and how we voice those opinions, and I think at the next level, you know, how you enforce your opinions, which you should never do because they're your opinions, they're your problem at some level. They're not somebody else's. That's really the question is, I mean, we're all allowed to have opinions, but it's how you enforce them or share them or whatever, that's where the problem comes from.
So the four layers of questions that I put forward is, are we entitled to our opinions? I'm sure that we all would agree that we have opinions and we should have the right to hold those opinions. And I have no reservations against that. But my question number two is then, if we have opinions, what formulates those opinions? If we look at everything that's happening in our world today, our opinions are formulated by a doctrine, a set of teachings, a religion, or something else which it has been institutionalized, something that has been made mainstream that you are groomed in or under or through. This is one of the two venues that you would be, your opinions would be molded. And the second is ignorance, sheer ignorance. So either a person's opinion is formulated through their religion, their faith, their teachings, their culture, their upbringing, the school they went to, the education, the education system that they went through. There could be many things, but all in all said, they consist of words, they consist of literature, they consist of teachers, they consist of some type of backing, historical backing. And on the other side is sheer ignorance, where there is no head or tail to the opinion. There is no fact behind it if it's fact-checked. There is no base for it, but it tends to float regardless, like a leaf on top of a floating water. So the thing is that as Muslims today, we are being pushed to articulate what our opinions are when it comes to illegal immigration, what our opinions are when it comes to abortion, what our opinions are when it comes to drug possession, homosexuality, LGBTQ marriages. We are being pushed, I'm using this word, because people want us to articulate what's our thoughts and opinions. Now, question number one was, are we entitled to our opinions? Yes, we are. What are our opinions based out of? Something that we learned or whatever we experienced, as I just talked about that. Now, are we, number three, the third level of these questions is, are we obliged? Are we obliged to articulate those opinions? No, we're not. But if we have to, do we feel the need that we need to compromise? See, I was in a Hillary Clinton rally. I was invited as a guest, and I was sitting right behind her while she was speaking. And before entering and after exiting, there was continuous there was crowds that were anti-Hillary, anti-democratic, anti-liberal, the conservatives. And that kind of tunes into President Trump's nomination for the Supreme Court. And they were like down with abortion, and abortion is illegal, you're killing people, and they had these very graphic photos. Now, if someone was to ask me, and I'm talking about myself tonight, and I'm basing my opinion based on my religious teachings, I'm basing my religious teachings' opinions based on scientific facts, that a child, after 42, 43 days, starts forming the eyes and the ears, and the body actually forms. And before that, it's just a clot with two black dots as the eyes, and things start forming drastically after the 40th day mark. is what we believe is when the soul comes in. So what's my opinion on abortion? I'm just going to take one thing today because there's so much we could talk about. And I would tell you that in my view, abortion is not permissible. After the 40th day mark, to me, abortion is not permissible. It is murder. How do I say that? I use the same verse of the Quran that Muslims use today to back that terrorism is not permissible. Whoever kills one soul is like they killed whole of humanity. Whoever saves one soul has saved whole of humanity. That's my view. And I want you to hear me out here because I'm not done yet. So to me, my opinion, abortion is murder. Unless that a body of medical professionals or jurists in Islamic faith, based on the fact that the lady was raped or something happened, can give the go-ahead for the abortion to happen, then it's not murder, then it's not illegal. Now, this is my view. If I was to express my view right now to the public as I am, many people like this guy has a problem. But that's exactly the problem our society, where we fear that we cannot speak what we think because other may feel offended because that my view or my opinion has been molded from a different clay pot than your opinions have been molded from. It may have been molded through an educational background, a cultural background, a systematic, whatever background, or it may be molded through ignorance. Regardless of the two sections I talked about, I feel that I should have the right to my view as you have the right to your own. The problem becomes question 3 and 4. Why is it that we have to be pushed to the brink to articulate our opinions? And why is it today in our world, number 4, that people are enforcing their opinions and views on the world as a dictatorial fashion, imposing it on people? That's the problem that we have in our society, Carl. So going back to that, I would say for me and myself and I, abortion is not something I would do. If I was a female, I would not do abortion. Unless medically it's proven, Islam gives the leeway. If it's proven by jurists because of a specific condition, it is proven that way. But we cannot go across the board and make a law and say yes or no. And that's exactly that goes into the conservative Red Party's agenda, that government's controlling our life. Well, then, why is government controlling the decisions of individual people? That's exactly a problem, both for the Democrats and the Republicans, to say that you have to do abortion, which the Democrats don't say, but they legalize it. And where the Republicans say, no, it's illegal. This is a personal opinion. So our world today is in a mess because people have opinions. Those opinions could be molded through something stable or unstable, and they are imposing those views after articulating their views and creating a momentum of people to stand behind them and their views. This is becoming a problem. Carl, at the end of the day, I feel that our war with each other will become from the straw that broke the camel's back, and that straw will be that we don't agree with each other's opinions and we try to impose our opinions on other people. So this was just one example, abortion. And Carl, before I hand it back to you and talk about the Justice Supreme Court nominee, and I'll talk about that soon, sorry, I was a train of thought lost. I got a magazine in the mail under my daughter's name from the Florida Department of Health and Families. It's a quarterly magazine that comes out, talks about vaccinations, talks about different things, different health things happening in Florida. And it talked about sexually transmitted diseases. And it talked about the high rate of sexually transmitted diseases in our country right now and how many Americans have STDs and they don't know it. Now, Carl, look at the solution they put on the bottom page. I wish I kept that magazine, but since I was packing, I wanted to just get rid of things I didn't need. And I lament myself for doing that. But in that magazine, it said a few things. It talked about using protection as an option. It talked about monogamy, sleeping with one person rather than sleeping around with multiple people. It talked about abstinence. It talked about so many things that are in line with the opinion that Islam expresses. But when Islam tells us these things, it is to formulate some stable ground for us to build our opinions off of. But if we don't allow that stability to be present, may it be a religion, may it be an educational system, then our opinions will be based out of ignorance. And I say ignorance because it has no stable ground. And ultimately, we will see the problems arise that we do. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I got a couple of things I want to cover here. But first off, isn't your daughter like 6?
No, my daughter's 15.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember the photos you posted. Like, why is the state sending that to like a 9-year-old? That's what we need to discuss first. Let's start there and work forward. But with that, let's go to Facebook and we will say assalamu alaikum to Sister Julie, who has posted a couple of comments. The first one, which was your first question, and it says people are entitled to have their own views until their views are enhanced by their position of power to become law or impose themselves upon the livelihood of others. If your views work to actively oppress other people, they traverse beyond feelings and into harmful actions, which I really kind of think that you touched on just a minute ago when you were saying some of the stuff about abortion, that that's your information and that's how you feel. Julie went on to say, in regards to present-day Muslims, she feels that often when they are asked to share their opinions on topics, it is not out of curiosity or civil discourse that others ask. Often questions are asked to Muslims about these topics because others are seeking ways to have us defend our humanity and affirm society's perception of us being backwards or oppressed or savage or terror. You know, Julie, I was just saying before the show began that I've started, alhamdulillah, I've started getting up for Fajr, forcing myself to do that. So, you know, I've been up probably like 18 hours now, and you want me to say this word? Terroristic. That's about as good as it's going to get out of me. But Wasif Khan has also commented, and he said he loves you. Thanks for the good work you're doing. Salam, Wasif. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, so I actually think that's a really good opinion, is that it goes back to, for me, it goes back to there is no compulsion in religion.
Mm-hmm.
So the Quran says there's no compulsion in religion, which means I can't force you to believe something. I can't force you to do something. I can't force you to pray. I can't force you to believe in Allah and the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I can't do that because there's no compulsion in religion. So if I feel that abortion is wrong, you know what? Watch this. I'll do another hot one for you. You ready for this one? Because this is this is actually how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think gay marriage should be a thing. Mm-hmm. However,
mm-hmm.
in our current system, the way it is set up,
mm-hmm.
if someone chooses to live that lifestyle
mm-hmm.
and they want to share their benefits, medical, health, retirement, you know, death, whatever, they can't share it with that person that they've chosen to spend their entire life with.
Mm-hmm.
Under this circumstances, unfortunately, gay marriage has to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not right for somebody, you know, my mom always said, hate the sin, not the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right for somebody to live that lifestyle and to punish them because of this lifestyle that, oh, you're choosing to live this way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't share your health insurance with this person you're living with.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, if that's the way you're going to play, then yeah, the gay marriage has to be a thing then.
And as you see what's happened here is that this is the beginning of the opinion war, is where people do not like how other people think, how other people believe, how other people feel. And so they use their positions of power to lobby their ideas and to ensure that their ideas overpower the ideas and ways of those people. Ultimately, what happens, human beings become instruments of games and play in our society. We're using women as tools of politics. You know, if a lady was raped and she had to get an abortion because of whatever the situation was, and she knows it and she knows what has transpired, now you're using her as a bargain chip for an election. This is how low we've come in society. We're trying to elect and select people regardless of, you know, what their background may be in so many other things. They may be criminals. They may be criminals. They may have spent time in jail. They might have been found guilty in the court of law for what you call backdoor channels of funds and finances, or whatever shady business they've done in their business dealings.
Like, but, pedophilia, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, it's big. Pedophilia is big in our country, bro. Brothers and sisters, grow up.
No. Did you hear about the guy? I don't remember where he was. I really don't remember where he was. Mm-hmm. But he's actually a criminal, convicted in a court of law, mm-hmm. is openly, mm-hmm. openly runs on the platform mm-hmm. of pedophilia. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that's why he was in jail to begin with. Mm-hmm. And that's his, and his people are voting for him.
And that's exactly what I said. It started off from us having our opinions, and thus then us expressing our opinions, and the opposition to those opinions led to suppressing those opinions. And the suppressing of the opinions led to people coming into leadership that would ensure that their opinion would overpower all opinions. This has become a big game. So every human being should be entitled to their thoughts, views, and opinions. But my friends, thoughts and views and opinions have to formulate from some stable foundation. You have to have some backing to it. And that's why in Islam, we have our faith and our faith teachings as backing. If it's science, and you have scientific backing. If it's education or knowledge base, it has a backing. But when there's the absence of that, you will have ignorant opinions. For example, President Trump said, and I'll take his second quote that I wanted to cover today. His second quote was what he said, I think it was today, on the way to the helicopter, to wherever he was going. He said to the reporters, "You want to stop this immigration mess? Then tell them not to come to the country illegally." Now, look, this is his opinion. His opinion is, if you want us to stop separating Guatemalan mothers from their children or Mexican fathers from their sons, the best thing is tell them don't come to this country illegally. That's his opinion. But what's that opinion backed of? What's the backing of that opinion? Is coming to this country illegal a crime? Yes, it is. Is sneaking yourself or smuggling people into this country a crime? Yes, it is. Is it punishable by law? Yes, it is. But then when that comes in your court, how you handle them exemplifies who you are. I did something wrong. The Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, always taught us to take the high road. If someone does wrong to you, there's no tit for tat. Learn as Allah said in Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever overlooks and rectifies a situation, their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came in illegally, yes. Is there something in our law against this? Yes, there is. But does that justify separating them from their parents? No, it doesn't. Does that justify putting a one-year-old on a stand in front of a judge? No, it doesn't. Does that justify shipping kids across the country and so many of them are missing? No, it doesn't. Does that justify putting a fine on the mother that if she cannot pay that fine, her child will live with the American family? No, it doesn't. It doesn't justify that. So this, as I said, all our problems today rooted down to opinions. And these opinions are two based: religious, doctrine, educational, scientific, or baseless, ignorant opinions. When we start clashing those opinions and we start imposing those opinions and we start enforcing those opinions using the Constitution of America as the backbone to do so, we have destroyed ourselves because there is no harmonious end to this. So what am I trying to say? We have to, number one, realize that our differences are real, but that doesn't dehumanize anyone. It should not dehumanize Carl for how he feels, nor should it dehumanize me for how I feel. But yes, we are dehumanizing ourselves when we dehumanize others for how they feel about themselves, for how they do what they do with themselves, or how they conduct their affairs in life, or that we try to make life hard for them because of that. That is our dehumanization of ourselves. So we have to really stop and understand that we cannot look down on someone because of how they see things. Number two, we cannot impose our views or ways on others because how they see things. And number three, we cannot assert a position of power and use that to harm people because of how they live or how they feel. That's exactly what's happening in this country right now. All minorities are being targeted because of how they see themselves or how they view themselves. You could be Muslim, but you're considered a terrorist in the eyes of people. So we have the justification to dehumanize you and to make life hell for you. And that goes with all people across the board. I'm just giving you one example. And it takes us to a very dark path. And I'll end with this. I saw a video, Carl, on social media, which is now picking up steam, which really, really boiled my blood. A lady booked a pavilion in a park for a birthday party. She reserved it. She paid for it to the city. It's her right. And now she's standing there and a guy confronts her and tells her she cannot wear that shirt. What shirt is she wearing? Was it Osama bin Laden? With a big AK-47 shooting down people falling from the Twin Towers? No, it wasn't. It was Puerto Rico, a Puerto Rican flag. Puerto Rico is part of America. It's America territory. They're American citizens. If you don't know the history, go read the history of how Puerto Ricans became part of America and what sacrifice they had to make for America. He's telling her she can't wear that. She has to take it off. He came so close to her, she had to tell the person, stay away from me. Don't come close to me. You know what bothered me, Carl? It wasn't that his opinion was based out of ignorance, that he was so stupid that he didn't know that Puerto Rico was part of America. That's how stupid these people are. Most of the Trump supporters are stupid. But what really bothered me was there was a police officer standing behind him, and he said nothing. When she asked the officer's assistant, he turned his back. But when a man came to defend her, the police officer told the man, get back. This is all based on what? How we see things. And if we are ignorant about Muslims, if we're ignorant about abortion, if we're ignorant about Jews, if we're ignorant about immigration, if we're ignorant about LGBTQ, if we're ignorant about anything, go and learn about it, for God's sakes. And my last thing is, Carl, we talked about Muslims and their opinions. Are we entitled to our opinions? Yes, we are. As a Muslim, our opinions should have a stable founding in the Quran, in the Sunnah, the traditions of the Prophet, and the text of God. Now, on that note, can a Muslim be categorized as a conservative or a liberal, an ultra-conservative or an ultra-liberal? This is a question where Muslims are, as elections are coming up, we're siphoning ourselves. I know a lot of Muslims who voted for Trump because they believe the Republican Party stands for conservative values. And hence, it doesn't matter who's standing on that platform. We're going to vote Republican because we're going to uphold conservative values because we are conservatives ourselves. There are others who feel that this is a daylight robbery of human beings' ability to do what they want to do and to follow what they want to follow. So then we have those who vote Democrat, regardless of abortion, regardless of everything else, because we believe that humans should have the right to do so. Where does a Muslim fall? And with that, I'll finish. And you could continue commenting. We'll continue answering your questions. If the show ends live tonight, you have a chance to email us your questions or your thoughts. And we want to continue these conversations. The email address is down below right there. You can see it. Please reach out to us. This is where we spark conversations, not where we dictate our ways or we make the ultimatum solution. This is not what's happening here. As a Muslim, we are not ultra conservative. We're not ultra liberal. We're not conservative. We're not liberal. We are ummat al-wasata. We find the middle ground. And the reason I say middle ground is because Islam taught us that through the teachings of Islam, there's no hard and fast decision or determination that can be pushed across the spectrum. It's all circumstantial. Hence, no one should corner themselves into any group, party, or pocket feeling this is the right way. Your views and your opinions should continue to evolve as you continue to enrich your mind and your life with experiences of that around you through knowledge and stable education.
And that's why everybody should be a libertarian. It's the state I come from where there's a lot of libertarians up there, because essentially the theory is you do with your life what you want to do as long as it doesn't harm me. That's between you and your God, and that's the end of the conversation, which I think is how most people should live. But anyway, with that being said, I have one follow-up for you to your video. I did actually see this afternoon that police officer is actually currently under investigation.
And it took that video to go viral for that person to be put under investigation. It is so sad. You could be a police officer. You could be a politician. You could be the principal of a school. Heck, you could be the manager of Publix, Kroger, Winn-Dixie, Walgreens, Walmart, whatever else. Your views, your opinions is yours. The values that your position represents supersede what the opinions you hold for yourself at that time. So when you are out to protect the community and society, you're out to protect the cat that's up in the tree and the dog that's stuck in the river. That's your job. At that time, don't impose your views by ignoring your position for allowing people to do what you think is right when your position says it is wrong. So that's my word to that police officer. He did himself a grave wrong by allowing his feelings against immigrants to supersede or precede his position as an officer while he's wearing that badge and he's holding that gun and he's coming out of that police car.
And now that I've said that, let's go to Facebook. No. So we have some more comments here. We have another one from Julie. Julie actually was very nice to post some hadiths for us. She also cited them, so I'm just going to run through some of them. So if anybody is listening to this after the fact, go back to our webpage at vennetwork.org. Look for episode number 60, and the comments will be down below because we're posting the Facebook comments there too. So the first hadith she posted was, the day of judgment will not be established until there is a war between two groups whose claim or religion will be the same. She also posted, when honesty is lost, then wait for the hour. It was asked, how will honesty be lost, O Allah's messenger? And he said, when authority is given to those who do not deserve it, then wait for the hour. And the last hadith she posted was, the day of judgment will not be established until there is a war. Oh, that was the same one I just read. She also commented that this is a horrible state of the world today, where the average person is used as a tool in the hands of the puppeteers in the positions of political power. And to Julie, I will actually say that I was having a conversation today, and I was extremely shocked to follow the breadcrumb trails in this conversation and end up at the checkbook of the Koch brothers. I was very taken aback by that. I was like, really? The Koch brothers? I really don't think they know what they're paying for. I think somebody's just spending their money in their name. But anyway, of course, what would a Raw Islam podcast on Facebook broadcasting live be without a comment from Sister Layla? Assalamu alaikum, Sister Layla. Thank you for joining us this evening. And she says, Assalamu alaikum. I believe that we have to remember that we do not live in a state that is governed by Islamic law. So the government may make decisions for the state that we do not agree with. And I think, Layla, I think the question that we're running with tonight is that, yeah, that may happen, but we don't have a right to judge somebody else. You know, I think that's one of the core tenets of Islam, is that don't judge. You know, and I It's funny, as I'm saying that, I'm getting some of the stuff I learned, as you know, for the Christian Bible, judge not lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. Whole lot of that don't judge other stuff going on.
Well, just to recap for sister is that, you know, this world right now that we're living in, it's a war of opinions, and the war of opinions is coming down to imposing their opinions on others. And we talked about the two statements. One was Trump's baseless opinion about illegal immigration, which does not solve the problem, rather exacerbates the problem. And his appointment of the Supreme Court judge, which I believe will be appointed. He will be appointed. And those who are on the liberal side, on the left, are very concerned of his conservative views. But again, our the silver lining in our conversation tonight was when we take on a position of responsibility or authority or power, we should never allow our personal opinions or thought to manipulate that position, which stands for something greater than ourselves. When we try to enclose it and enforce how we see things to be, this will cause the destabilization of not just a people or a nation. It could cause the destabilization of the world. And there's so many opinions we could talk of. Trump's recent statement regarding the EU. The EU Polish president, I think, made a statement today clarifying two of Trump's statements, which are based on no facts, no stable grounding. So any opinion that we have, we should have some stable backing for it. And that's why in Islam, we have the right to our opinions, but our opinions should be molded through the Quran and the Sunnah. So inshallah, you could read or you could listen through to this after it's uploaded. But I want to thank everyone for their comments and their thoughts and their sharing opinions. And we want this conversation to continue. The conversation doesn't stop here. The conversation after 35 minutes just starts here.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. So now we do our housekeeping. Is everybody ready? Let me take a deep breath and see if I can get this rundown on this. I know it's not going to happen. I'll have to breathe at least twice during this. So the first bit of housekeeping, ladies and gentlemen, is make sure that you go over to podcastawards.com and that you nominate the Raw Islam Podcast with Imam Azhar under the religion section for a 2018 podcast award. Thanks to you guys and your awesomeness, we got nominated last year. And I was just kind of looking through before we started broadcasting, and I think, meaning I could be wrong, that we're one of the only Islamic podcasts in there under religion. So share this post, share the link, tell your friends to go nominate us. Let's say it loud and say it proud so that we can show that we are here and we have a voice, and this is that voice. Also, don't forget to head over to thevennetwork.org, where you can find great Venn Network t-shirts, where you can help support the network, support our hosts, and support other great shows. And while you're over at vennetwork.org, make sure you check out the other wonderful shows that we have out there, like Islamic Faith in Focus with Imam Hassan. Lastly, if you would like to give a continuing donation, no matter how small, you can find us over at patreon.com. Search for Venn Network, where you can support the network, support the shows, and support the hosts. I think that's about everything. I can't think of anything else. I think we covered it all. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, from Raw Islam, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find them oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.